No, I was just saying that to make conversation.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure this morning. Just all the forces of life pressing down right now. Responsibilities and money and duties. Yada, yada, yada.
Maybe that's what we can talk about. In the scriptures, we're still talking about shame, but the scriptures figuratively set forth as shame. They call shame it's a wild beast, a garment of confusion, a blight, a sin against yourself, and it's in universally it's the condensed symbol of all of the false gods. It's connected with a series of conditions that marred Israel. Defeat, reproach, confusion, nakedness, everlasting contempt, folly, nothingness, unseemliness. Those that are in shame are enemies of the cross, is what. It's the very worst that a Hebrew could wish on the enemy, that they would be clothed in shame. And it's called for by the prophets on Israel if they are following after a god other than their God. And it's also called all, and again, we can go through in detail, and I'll show you the scriptures for all these, but it's called upon, the prophets, again, call it down on people who trust in earthly power, any kind of earthly power. There are a few desperate cases where those in shame are forever gone. But it says, "And many of them," when Daniel says, "many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And again, it's my thesis that the reason that we attempt to justify ourselves at all times is because of shame. And that's what we talked a little bit about yesterday. The basis let's go to Philippians 3, and it's going to take forever if we do this the other way. Go to Philippians 3. What?
Just had a terrible thought. It's like, when the minute you said shame, it just like it all came together this whole morning.
That's why.
And yet, just now when you said about justifying yourself, I found that I was justifying my reason to being in shame. Like, real stupid.
It's beyond.
I know. It's I've never felt that before.
Remember, shame, there's no anecdote to shame. You can't, the only freedom from it is when you can see it for what it is and laugh at it. But until then, it haunts you. It continually is your constant companion, and it's the snake. It's waiting for an opportunity to strike. It's waiting for, and it's all these stupid things. You know, when you're a little kid, when you're a baby, you're very quickly aware that if the people around you are upset. Then as soon as you have self-awareness, then you are convinced that they are upset because of you. And so that, you know, and then if there's not any consolation, if you're sort of pushed away, and you know, if your little parents didn't raise your inner child right, then you're all, and oh, then poor me, and then everything is shame. And you don't want to expose it. You don't want to talk about it. Because, you know, again, as we've said so often, there's an anecdote for your, even in the world sense, there's anecdotes for sin, for trespasses. So you do things. You create your own little. But for shame is the only anecdote for shame is like to hide, to go, to be buried in the earth, to cover your head up, to jump in a hole in the ground. You know, we it's how we talk about it. Now we confuse guilt, trespass, and shame and sin, and we make them all one big thing, and then they lose their power. It's like it's. As long as you're shame-based, then the cross of Christ doesn't do you any good because you keep on trusting in flesh.
Yeah, and when you do what I was just saying that was going on in me, justifying and making excuses for why it's right to be in this shameful place, then you don't pick up the cross.
No, you're justifying.
You're choosing misery and wallowing in it.
And that's why it's always there. And it's just waiting for an opportunity to reveal itself. It's hanging around because it's hanging around because you continue to trust in the flesh for different things. You have solutions, you have, you know, moments that you're trying to get glory for yourself. Are you trying to get it right? And all these things, when you're trying to do something right, or even trying to do something that you want, well, then you've resurrected this beast, who is the beast can only be shame-based. With some, it's toxic shame. You know, it's just a glance at them can overwhelm them, and they become completely.
Yeah, I'll just say your shame becomes your righteousness. You are righteous in your shame.
There's a scripture about that. Remember?
Yeah. This is nasty.
Their glory is their shame.
Their glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, their belly, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. They give breath. You can watch it. Aren't you tired of going through life and then you pretty soon, oh, I have a great day and everything's right, and then boom. And oh crap, everything's wrong, and I'm just overwhelmed. Well, the scriptures call that, if you're a believer, you call that being carnal or childish, because you're still yet going back and forth, up and down. And you say things like the way you justify yourself, you say things like, and I'm not pointing this at anybody. you say things like, well, it just came upon me. I couldn't help it. It just came upon me. And then you have to scurry around like a cockroach in the light, trying to get a little bit of righteousness so you can cover that thing over again. You got the concept? What?
That's right.
All right, back to Philippians. Finally, my brethren.
Excuse me. The thing, you know, a couple of minutes ago, you said, until you can laugh at it. There's no other.
There's no other anecdote.
That's it. Laugh at it. When you can laugh at it, it's like Luther waking up and seeing the devil and saying, it's only you.
Right.
That's all it is. It is, in fact, the devil.
But you tend when the same shame has as its common denominator, is it causes you to take yourself really seriously.
Yeah,
that's like that's yesterday morning.
That's the trick. Right.
See, you were so pissed off at poor little Joysanna.
8 foot tall, mean Joysanna.
But I mean, you could go around the room. How many times have you gotten so mad at Judy you couldn't? Let's forget Judy. How many times you got so mad at me, even while you're sitting in Bible study? Then you have to. What you have to do is you have to go beat me up afterwards. But you just do it in your mind.
But it really is like a scary movie or a horror movie. It's that it always is that monster hiding in the closet.
The only reason any of those movies have any effect on the human race is because they reveal what's in you.
You know, when Harry talked in that meeting we had the other day and he felt liberated, that, and then this morning, you know, just me talking now changes everything. And I think about that, you know, this is the function of the body of Christ, is to, because what's happening to me isn't about me, it's about hopefully something.
It's about us.
Yeah, it's about us. We see things.
The body of Christ is only one.
Well, the dumb movies are right. If you go off by yourself to your little cabin and keep it to yourself, you're going to get killed.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
I'm about. Anyway.
Take the movie theme one step further. It's like, all I was thinking is, it's scary, and then the camera pulls back and reveals the set. There's all these people manipulating lighting, and all of a sudden it's not scary.
Yeah.
Well,
that's right. It's exactly the same thing. You're all it's basically, remember, where the fear of death has kept you in bondage all your life, and the fear of death is, you know,
fear.
Well, that's fear of separation, and shame is defying separation. Shame proves to you that you are righteous in being, righteous, but that's your eternal lot, and that's why in the analogy. You know, that's why the leprosy of the forehead, which is the worst kind, causes you to be forever alone. That's why the human race is now forever alone. They can't even live with other lepers because they have leprosy of the forehead. Therefore, it keeps them from ever, you know, that's the best they can do is sort of run around with a veil over their face, and that's what we do. And I know what I'll do. If I had a girlfriend, then I wouldn't be alone. Or if I had a boyfriend, or then if I had a husband, or if I had a wife, then if I got rid of my wife, then I wouldn't be alone. Or whatever it's always something else, because you're condemned to aloneness because you have leprosy of the forehead. The fate of shame is alone forever. That's why you're either you've got the garment of shame on, or the garment of righteousness. And the shame is really valued. It's what causes great ambition and great achievement. And then what happens after the game? I mean, it's always the same message. Vanity of vanity, vanity of vanities. All is vain. And so all I'm trying to do is to get you to see you don't have to go through all that. And for those of you that have gone through it all, to see you don't have to try to live of if-onlys. You don't have to, you know, always having something remind you of something else, because then you're making reference and resurrecting the past.
I'm thinking now about the thing about putting makeup on a dead body, trying to make a fair show in the flesh, trying to disguise the fact that it's just a dead body.
Finally, my brethren, Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. For beware of dogs. Now, what is a dog? It's not Princess or Contessa or your little pet. The dogs are the prostitutes, specifically the male prostitutes. that are masquerading as priests, but are really are whoremongers. Or not just priests, or any kind of spiritual, that, you know. Beware of dogs, because they will try to get you to try to come to have some other solution other than the cross to be fixed. You understand that a little bit? And the reason that, you know, your mind wants to follow dog.
So bumper sticker, this dog is my co-pilot.
Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Evil workers are just self, it just means the self-seekers. And beware of the concision. Remember what the concision is? Come on.
Cutting yourself. Cutting. Self-circumcision.
Well, it's mutilating. It's mutilating yourself. And you do it by false piety. And, you know, it's revealed in the, like the Shias, and where they beat themselves and till their backs blood or bloody. And but it's psychically, you can always, you can see it. Everybody, I got to cut myself. I got to be so I can look like I'm. So, dogs, self-seeking, and concision. For we are the circumcision, the true circumcision. We no longer need the praise of men. You don't need, and you know you don't work. You don't fear what they fear. You don't want what they want. You don't esteem what they esteem, because we are the circumcision, not the kind of circumcision that the type, but the circumcision of the heart, so that there's no connection to the past. So there's no reference point regarding your past life. Do you understand that's what true circumcision does? It causes you not to have any point of reference except the instant.
All the excuses that they gave, I've married a wife, I must go do this, I've bought land, I must do that, let me go tend to my family. It's all those are all these things. It's all the connections.
Right. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus only and have no confidence in the flesh. But you can't have confidence in the flesh that you think you know about, and therefore I know how to do that and I'm going to go do, without having confidence in the flesh that you don't know about, i.e. that little monster, that little son of a bitch back there that's trying to constantly make himself the center of attention, that little inner child that you have to nurture and minister to. And you can't live in both worlds. You have to have no confidence in the flesh, period, with no reference to the to any part of it. And I'm talking about any, when it talks about the flesh here, it means any confidence with any making decisions based on any of the senses. What?
The light coming off your face is blinding. I'm sorry.
You want me to put a veil on?
No, it's just you're too white. It's like a big mirror.
Point of all this. In order for shame to be defeated, you can't have any confidence in the flesh. Now, what does that mean? I don't have any confidence in the flesh. Well, then tell me what you're going to do the next time an issue comes forth. Anything. Any deadline to meet. Any trying to meet some imaginary agenda. Any, even if you know it's imaginary, you still have to try to meet it, and you know you won't, but you have to do it so you can try to have righteousness, so you can be justified in feeling bad. That's the fruit of shame. Way shame is only defeated by the cross, and so therefore the recognition of your death and his life. That's but it's this whole I wanted to go in detail on how Christ defeated all the shame. We are out of time. But I have that 3 hours of rollover minutes, right?
3 hours. In your mind.
That was a negative.
Let's go to Philippians. Well, we're still in Philippians 3. Let's just go to the farther on down. Start in verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Now, what's your response when it feels like you're losing something? What's your response when it feels like you won't be able to meet some obligation?
Shame.
It's the opportunity for shame to be revealed if you give it breath. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. The reason it's reckoned of debt so instantly, if you're working anything, is because it's connected to this long cart rope, and at the end of the cart rope is a hunk of shame that's bigger than any accomplishment you could ever imagine to do. And so this cart rope always brings you back down the minute you give breath to earthly things, to the senses. You can convince yourself that, you know what, that's why I wish, I would love to see if we could really go live in a cave or go live in a monastic or be silent. That would be good. We can't. We got to go live in a big cave in a monastic life, and we'd be silent. Well, then we could have a form of godliness. We could look. We could put on the right uniform. We could buy a bus with blacked out windows.
Could we email?
No. There's definitely no computers allowed in this little world.
Any sign language?
No.
One sign.
Huh?
One sign.
Yeah, but not the one you want.
Which one's that here? The one that says you're here, which one's that?
The one that's showing his IQ.
John's song where you're working for the credit and avoiding the shame. Like that. Those are the two sides. We're all looking for some glory and some credit for our.
All right, we got to get here because I'm running out of time. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. What are those things which are behind? Everything. Forgetting, neglecting, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal it even unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. And the only thing Paul had as an example was faith. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind, or who mind, earthly things. So you can't live in both worlds. That's the constant neglecting those things that are behind. All right? We'll get to what I thought we were going to get to whenever we meet next, which I don't even know when that is. So take a big guy. Anybody have anything else? We are of the circumcision and have no confidence in the flesh. We owe the flesh nothing.
It's that idea of the cart rope, say, dragging it with a cart rope, and the idea of just cutting it off.
Take a big guy.
Oh.